This is one of the biggest problems for women in STEM you may have never heard of. It makes workspaces unsafe, it impacts women's confidence, and it's critical to tackle. We speak with Anna Kraft, who founded Xena Workwear.
They tackle this problem.
She has a background in engineering, and she worked at international corporations. While she worked on site, she realized the problem and is now actively being part of the solution.
A pink, clunky men's boot did not necessarily help me feel confident in a meeting with 10 to 20 engineers. I thought that women deserve safety footwear and PPE that fits our bodies and allows us to be confident in whatever work environment we work in.
We speak about her journey of founding Xena Workwear, as well as the importance of PPE, protective personal equipment, for women in STEM, and sustainability and products. This is the Gen Z in STEM podcast. I'm your host, Myadrin, and I hope you're as excited as I am. Let's get to it. So today I'm joined by Anna. She is CEO of Xena Workwear. And today we're going to talk about your journey to founding Xena and PPE, so personal protective equipment. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Okay, so you have like a really exciting journey. There's a long path that led you to start like Xena, but I want to start by what led up to that. So you were actually born in Kazakhstan and moved to Germany at 10 years old. So I wanted to know how your experiences in childhood and adolescence shaped the direction you took for your studies and career.
Yeah, so I was born in Kazakhstan, and living in the US, I always have to kind of describe it on the map, bordering Russia, China, Uzbekistan, and a few other countries in the south. It's while I had an awesome childhood and loved the beautiful mountains and the amazing hospitality you get in Kazakhstan, I was always very frustrated with the way women were treated. They did not have the same respect or opportunities as men. And this is basically the environment I grew up in. And from a very early age, I was very frustrated to see when women were not treated with the same respect as men. And when I moved to Germany at the age of 10, it was kind of a culture shock for me, but in a good way. I saw women in leadership roles in big companies, the government, and women were free to choose whatever career path they wanted. And that I always, after growing up in Kazakhstan, I always had this drive to have a job that would allow me to be financially independent, but also would allow me to have a positive impact in the world. And that's why I decided to go into engineering. And that was an amazing choice. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. I love that, yeah. So then you did study in Germany. And
Yeah. I went to Reutlingen University in Southern Germany, studying international project engineering. It was just the perfect program that combined engineering with some innovation management, languages, a huge focus on project management. So I really loved that program. It was kind of perfectly designed for me.
Mm-hmm. And through that, you did like also do some internships, an internship in the United States, then worked as a project management consultant when you finished your studies. And you managed to also work at Caterpillar. And like part of your job did consist of visiting client sites. So before we get to like Xena, this is kind of related to, could you maybe describe a little what your job consisted of and also why shoes/workwear, so like PPE, was important for safety when you were visiting client sites?
So when my first experience with safety shoes was during my internship in the US. We all had to go abroad during our program, and I always wanted to live in a different country and get an offer for really in a small town in Wisconsin, but worked for a really awesome steel cutting tool facility. So I loved material science and so got some experience at heat treatment of steel. And that was my first experience buying a pair of boots, which was a very bad experience. Mm-hmm. They were so uncomfortable. So you have to constantly switch the whole day between your office meetings where you have to dress professionally and then be out on the manufacturing floor. The same thing when I got my dream job working for a consulting company and having my first client, Caterpillar. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun too. I was responsible to lead the planning sessions for multi-million dollar manufacturing and construction projects. And Like, I was expected to dress professionally in a meeting with 10 to 20 engineers. And then as soon as we wrapped up the meeting, one of the guys would simply say, let's go out on the shop floor to check on the project we just discussed. So I had to hold up a full rope, run back to my desk, put on my steel toes, and go up on the manufacturing floor. And so many women can relate to the scenario where you have multiple pairs of steel toes, safety shoes under your desk. You don't. So many of my friends in engineering didn't like their safety footwear, and you constantly have to switch back and forth between your comfortable shoes and the really funky, heavy PPE protective boots that you have. So that was kind of my day to day. I was mostly at one client site, but constantly transitioning between meetings and offices, and then going between multiple buildings where we had a weld shop, an assembly shop, manufacturing shop with different kinds of machines where the manufacturing process would happen. So that was a really fascinating job. Loved what they did, but was always frustrated with the idea that I had.
Mm-hmm. Now, I quickly want to make connection, even though, so I haven't been on the site or like had like steel toes yet. I do want to make the connection that like in STEM in general, like even just safety gears and like when you're doing a lab or something like that, the equipment is like very often like channeled like for men, I guess. So like, I live in the Netherlands and I'm not that tall. So I thought when I was like in the lab that like, oh, this is super big. It has to be because, you know, I'm in the Netherlands and I'm kind of like, you know, short, I guess. But then I realized that it was just that the whole lab itself and like a lot of the BBP people were experiencing this that I know they're in chemistry or something like this and they don't have like the adequate size like lab coat or safety equipment so that it's like not safe or it's uncomfortable like in your experience. So I'm also curious how from your experience it impacted your decision to start Xena.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I left my job and but was extremely frustrated with the safety shoes that I had. And I'm just the kind of person, I complain about something for a while until I decide to do something about it. So in this case, I waited for 2 years for somebody else to fill the gap in the market. I found out that traditional companies apply the so-called shrink-fitted pick-up concept, where they take a men's product, could be a men's boot, could be a men's safety vest, make it smaller and leave it pink. And just shrinking the product does not provide a really good fit for women. Like a pink, clunky men's boot did not necessarily help me feel confident in a meeting with 10 to 20 engineers. So I thought that women deserve safety footwear and PPE that fits our bodies and allows us to be confident in whatever work environment we work in, because it's already difficult enough for women to fit into a more male dominated industry, and if you're distracted by your poorly fitting PPE, it's just an unnecessary barrier that I wanted to remove. So that was the biggest driver, basically frustration of my personal experience to start a company that helps women get well-fitting PPE that helps them feel safe and confident.
Love that, safe and confident. Yeah, and so then when you decide to actually like start I guess this shoe, well, company, but also start prototyping for this shoe, well, two things. Did you go like full in, like, or was it part-time? And also, what would be this process from like the idea to like this like findable first sellable product?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when I decided to start the company, I did a ton of research first. So the first year, I switched my job, reduced my hours so that I would have a full Friday. Because my company's, I was already related with my job, but then my client had another really awesome big project that they wanted to keep me on for another year. So I told them, I will do this. If we can reduce my hours, I will basically donate just for the time that I'm on site. And then when I don't have work to do, I just want to go home and work on my other project. So I basically have I've almost evenings and like sometimes a Friday every week to work on some research, create a business plan. I learned everything possible about the American safety standards. So we use here ASTM standards for safety testing, because every model needs to go through testing at an independent lab to be certified for the US. Of course, I don't have a fashion background. I didn't know how to create a design for shoes. So I created a few sketches, roughly, kind of understanding the testing it would have to go through and understanding kind of pushing the boundaries of design to create something really beautiful that women would want to wear and could wear in many different work environments. So then I found a shoe designer who helped me create a tech pack. And with that tech pack, I found a manufacturer in Mexico who helped us through multiple rounds of prototypes. So yeah, the prototyping process is very interesting. You could create a prototype locally and then try to find a factory who can replicate it. But typically, I would not recommend this. I think in many cases, it makes sense to start prototyping with the actual manufacturer to test out their capabilities. So we're incredibly grateful for the partner we have. They really focus on quality, which we value a lot. We get together on a weekly basis to talk about new product developments. So it took us 5 rounds of prototypes, about a year, to get a final prototype that I decided to send in for testing and get approved. So from a timeline perspective, for about a year, a little over a year, I just worked on the business plan, the product development, and then we got accepted into, I was done with my huge project, another successful and finished project that my team was really proud of. And that was a really good cut off time for me to do the scary dive into the startup world and do this full time, because we got accepted into an accelerator program that I don't know if you need to have. I'm sure you have a ton of accelerator programs in the Netherlands as well. How it works here is it's very competitive. They accepted only 5 companies and you have to commit full time. So it was, in this case, just a 7-week program for early stage startups. But then you have a bunch of meetings during the week to meet with mentors. You set goals that you want to accomplish. And the last week of the program is a pitch week where you go to a ton of different investors and kind of try to raise funding. So we got accepted. It was a good time for me to leave my job and focus on this entirely.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I love that. Yeah. A pretty long process, but it works out. And also so you have your first like design and you have your first shoe. Did you start off by just like launching this like one shoe or did you have like more models?
Yeah, we decided many companies, when they launch, they have already multiple products. I wanted to make sure that I was not fully crazy and that there was an actual product market fit. So we launched with just one product. I designed the Gravity boot. It's kind of the perfect walk-through boot. It has a steel toe cap, a slip-resisting rubber outsole. The heel height is based on the Canadian safety standard because there are no limitations in the U.S. So I decided to launch with this product just to see if there was a need in the market, if women really wanted this. So it launched in 2 colors, in a black and a cognac brown. And we started getting orders from women all over the country. That was really awesome that we started getting pre-orders before even our first shipment came in. And with additional requests to develop more products, like with a lower heel, ankle coverage, and electric hazard certification, there were 7 anticipated certification. There are a ton of different safety features. And that allowed us to raise funding 2 months after the launch. That allowed me to hire my first team member and invest in new product development.
It's amazing. So then from the feedback of the people who were like buying and interested in this product, that's how you like made up your different designs. And then did you have to go through this whole loop again of like prototype after prototype and all that?
Yeah, that was another round of prototyping. So this kind of model we launched is the Omega boot, is right now our best-selling model. It's a kind of a Chelsea boot with a zipper on the side. It has a steel seal cap, a slip-resisting outsole, and we have a different outsole design for this. It's a dual density outsole rubber for traction, but because rubber is a bit heavier, we use PU in areas where traction is not as important to eliminate weight. And it's electric hazard certified and comes in three different colors. So women absolutely love the fit, and it's been, our most successful product since our launch. We're very excited too. Launching as a direct-to-consumer brand really allowed us to be connected to our customers and get the direct feedback instead of selling through a store where you lose that connection to your customer who will provide feedback and you apply improvements all the time.
And for you, how has it been? Because so as CEO, you kind of like see the vision behind it and like, you know, lead your staff. So how has that been? How has your experience from like, you know, at the start, you didn't want to necessarily run a company. You didn't want to have an impact, but you didn't necessarily see yourself doing this. So how has that experience been for you?
It was, I'd say starting a company is one of the hardest things you can do, but also one of the things that allows you or forces you to learn the most. Every one of our team members has to wear multiple hats. There's not like one task that you do. But it allows you to create something new. I love to read different books and like take snippets out of everyone that could apply to our brand. And it's just really interesting to create a new culture for the company, new products. And it's so awesome to see the products up in the world. Like when it's really cool to go to the manufacturing facility and see women wear your boots. Or the biggest compliment is when I go to conferences and women wear our boots to a conference, because that means they're so comfortable that they wear them in areas where they don't have to wear steel toes. So it's been an exciting journey. I would say if you decide to start a company, you have to be willing to work really long hours, and it's not like you cannot really forget about the business at the end of the evening or in weekends. It's always in your head because you're always worrying about something, because you typically care so much. It's here to your baby that you're building.
And I want to move on to I guess sustainability of like the product, I guess, because so sustainable and like ethical practices for like clothing and shoes are becoming more important as like consumers are a bit more like conscious, I guess, of like the products they buy. So like I'm wondering, as a leader in like the workwear industry, what steps is Xana Workwear taking to like tackle sustainability and like environmental responsibility?
Yeah, so we try to do different things. One of my biggest inspirations for the sustainability component is Yvan Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia. It's an outdoor clothing brand, and Yvan Chouinard that talks about the fact that he can build in, kind of incorporate sustainability in the design process. So instead of trying to design 10 different jackets for 10 different situations, you can have one quality jacket that you can wear in many different environments. So I try to, with every model, we use timeless designs. Like, I don't want something that will be out of style. Like, the fast fashion industry moves so quickly. Like, you buy something one season and then people are throwing it away. The next season because it's out of style, and it contributes so much waste. I think the fashion industry contributes a ton of waste around the world. We want to design our products with timeless, clean designs that you can wear for many different seasons and can wear to your meeting, out to the manufacturing floor, even if you have a work dinner afterwards or a happy hour with your team, to get a ton of use out of them. Then we also use, so they're manufactured in Mexico. We use LWG certified leather from an LWG certified tannery that is gold rated, which means that the tanneries have to go through a certification process to make sure that they don't pollute any waterways. The tanning process, leather tanning process, is incredibly chemical intensive. And we want to make sure that we work with the partner that has beer high standards to remove all the chemicals and toxins before boars getting released back into the streams. So that's another important component. Oh, we did have a cobbler service for a while, so you could send in your goods for repolishing and sometimes like replacing the heels so you would get more use out of it, or maybe for a new partner now because our partner retired. But and overall, just using quality materials in every single component allows, it's basically an investment for a customer and allows women to wear Nella for a very long time.
I love that because it's super important to, you know, if you buy a comfortable shoe and you can wear it, you want to wear it as long as possible. So
yeah. And maybe one last thing I should mention is in the US, there are some companies that offer this really attractive guarantee. They say like, hey, wear the boots for 30 days. And if you don't like the fit, you can send them back. We have a different policy. We ask our customers to please wear them at home for a few days. We pick a couple hours at a time to make sure they have the right fit. And if it's the right fit, they keep them and wear them to the job site. But if they realize they ordered them half size too big or half size too small, or they want the white fit, they can send them back for free. Like, we offer free shipping, free exchanges and returns. They can send them back and get the right pair. And the pair that they have had at home can still be resold. Like, the last thing I want is somebody wear the boots out in the field, beat them up the first day, realize it's the wrong size, and we have to throw the shoes into a pile of trash. I think that's just a way to eliminate waste and be more thoughtful with the products that we purchase.
And so then also, so since you like the first like Zenna shoe launched in around like 2019, your journey has been to create like VPP for women, but yeah, you've also been involved with other things such as, like you mentioned a bit before, American Society for Testing and Materials, ASTM, but also Feeding Mouths and Filling Minds, so FMFM. So could you maybe explain what FMFM does and how you got involved with them?
So FMFM is a really cool nonprofit that I got involved in when I moved to the US. I had to, when you move to the US, you, I think I had to wait 2 or 3 months to get my work permit. You have to be in the country, but you're not allowed to work. And I started to go crazy because I was not used not to work. I had, living in Germany, I always had, like, was studying engineering and had multiple jobs. And it was just so crazy for me to just be home. So I started looking for different volunteering opportunities. And one of them was Feeding Whales, Filling Minds. And it's an awesome nonprofit that works in Eastern and Western Africa. It was started by my friend, Ben Maria Groves, who traveled around the world. And as she traveled through Africa, she discovered like the issue of nutrition. I have it going to schools where kids did not have a meal during a day, and when you're not, basically, when you don't cover your most basic needs, like getting clean water and some food, quality food, you can't focus on learning at school and you cannot invest in your future and your education. So she started building these school gardens, basically helping schools get the school gardens off the ground, but then also step away and let it run in a sustainable process. And we partner with another nonprofit called Strides for Africa. So they're responsible for the water side, which is really helpful. So building wells, making sure that schools get access to clean water. And FMFM focuses on the nutritional component, like helping to build school gardens. Sometimes like chickens, so kids have access to eggs, which are very nutritious. So it's been, I never thought that I would be working on projects in Africa someday, but I just love that every dollar goes directly into every project, and you get to work with awesome people, and just, it's really rewarding to see the impact that we're doing. I think one of the bigger projects we work on was building a new university in Sierra Leone called Konedugu College. It just launched last year and will expand over time. We'll add more classes to it, and it's just a ton of fun to make a small difference.
And so then how has your time with FMFM maybe, like, you know, impacted your life and the projects that you want to pursue?
I think it helps everyone who is working on projects get a different perspective on how other people live around the world and helps you to appreciate the things that you have. Like me living in Europe, in Germany, or living in the US, sometimes, especially in Germany, you like to complain a lot. And at the same time, like, the standard of living is so incredibly high and people still find ways to complain. So it really helps me to be grateful for the things that we have, and also with the free time that we have, you can just make different things. And I think it's also to be able to contribute to helping kids focus on their future. I think education is incredibly powerful. It's the most powerful tool to change the world, and I am very grateful to be to make a tiny splash in someone's life. So it's really awesome. And it ebbs and flows. There were times in the beginning I was really heavily involved because I had a ton of time, to be honest. But like after starting the business, it ebbed and flowed. I stayed involved throughout the years, but there were times where I did more, and there were times when I had to step back and just support the annual fundraising events. But everyone is understanding. Everyone is a volunteer and contributes their time.
I love that. And I do want to like do a final wrap up. And so you founded Zenna, which helps assure like safe and comfortable like workwear, well, shoes for women. So the industry is evolving a bit, well, very recently. So what changes do you hope to see in the future in the field?
What I would love to see is that all women will have access to well-fitting PPE. It does not apply only to steel toes. That seems to be the biggest pain point that I see. But ideally, women will have access to well-fitting vests, safety glasses, hard hats, safety harnesses. And the other thing that I also see is that a lot of women try to dress like the guys to fit into the male-dominated industry. So they will try like to talk like the guys, walk like the guys, and to dress like the guys. And I think the only way to be truly successful is to be your authentic self. And I hope someday we'll have women who can embrace their feminine side and not feel like they have to be like one of the guys to contribute, because there are so many, when you have women in the workspace, you have, you add to cognitive diversity, men and women solve problems differently. And I would love to see a future where women can be themselves and work and feel safe and confident, whatever they do.
And also, well, like, thank you for creating such a company, because also I feel like, well, if it's you know, still kind of a male-dominated field, so a man might never experience this problem, so they would never even be aware for this need. So through, like, you know, Xena, it's like an awareness on, oh, yeah, well, there is other options to just, you know, having to deal with switching shoes. So, yeah, thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for allowing me to share about my journey. If people want to explore our website at xenaworkwear.com, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Anna Kraft with one N on LinkedIn. We have an Instagram channel, Zena Workwear. So appreciate all the support that we can get. And thank you so much for helping spread the word about our existence. And we are very excited to help more women get access to PPE they deserve.
Yeah. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. It was a really interesting conversation about PPE and Xena and the work they do. I really hope it was insightful to you. It was to me. And please, 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 if this brought any value to you, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us a like and follow, because we are going to have lots of other guests coming up. We've got some really cool guests coming up, and you are not going to want to miss it. So thank you so much for your support, and see you next time.